are about to hear a life-changing message that was preached at First Love Memphis by Reverend Kojo Orleans Lindsay. Now relax and be blessed as you enjoy this anointed word.
It gets sweeter and sweeter, day by day. Yes, it does.
Hallelujah, hallelujah.
Amen.
Oh, how many believe the name is above every name?
Amen.
At the mention of that name, every knee shall bow.
Amen.
Of things above, of things on the earth, and of things underneath the earth.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Do you know something? If you do not believe this, I pity you as a Christian. If you do not believe that the name of Jesus Christ is above every name, you got a big problem. It's a problem of waste. You know, when you have a car, but you keep walking, you either don't believe in the car or you don't believe in your head. I choose to believe the car. Because if you don't believe in your head, we got another problem. We need to send you somewhere else. Do you get my point? I'll say it again. For all who drove in a car, if you sit your car here and you walk home in the cold, rainy day, I question your integrity, the integrity of this, or I question the integrity of your car. Amen. Two things. Your car is either not working or your head is not working. Those are the only reasons why you live here. Because if your head is working and your car is not working, you still leave the car. But that we understand. Do you get that? You don't believe in the car. But you believe in the car, it is working, and you walk off. It's a problem. What am I saying? A Christian who does not invoke that name. Give me Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2. You know? And maybe from verse 7 thereabout. But you know, if you believe in the name, but at the mention, I'm talking about verse 9, maybe. At that name. Come on. Wherefore God has highly exalted him, Jesus Christ, and given him a name which is above every name. And somebody say every name, every name. Every name. That at the name, next, come on, brother, boy. And wherefore, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow of things in heaven, of things in earth, and of things under the earth. And that every tongue should confess, brother, that Jesus Christ is Lord. And how? To the glory of God the Father. Clap for Jesus Christ. Now, what this means is that Jesus' name is recognized in heaven. Everything that has risen above what should not, everything that has risen above your possibility level, that makes your standards, it's like, I can't reach this, I can't. We're going to speak the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Yeah. Some of us, there are certain exams that is too high for me. Some of us, there are certain jobs that is too high for me. Some of us, there are certain standards too high for me. Everything that exalts itself of things that are high, of things that are on the earth. Yeah. Of things that are on the earth. And of things beneath the earth. That's the underworld. We want to invoke the name of Jesus Christ. We want to invoke the name of Jesus Christ. We want to invoke the blood of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
The Bible says that the blood of Jesus Christ speaks better things than the blood of Abel.
Amen.
Hallelujah. So we're going to speak that in the name of Jesus, let the mountains come down. Let the things that have exalted themselves come down.
Amen.
Right here. Amen. And then number two, we want to believe God that this name that we're talking about is actually going to be believed in our hearts. Hallelujah. Because listen, if you don't believe it, it's useless. Yeah. And there are many people that walk without believing. You know, when that, you know, centurion's child was sick and brought to Jesus Christ. And then said, Jesus, if you can, please heal my child.
But Jesus Christ asked the question, he says, do you believe? Ask somebody, do you believe? You are told you believe. Do you believe? And then the man said, oh, sir, I believe. Then the next question is, he realized, see, people, Christians, he said, help thou my unbelief. Help my unbelief. Then I noticed that the guy was like many Christians. When they say, oh, I believe in Jesus Christ. But take a minute. Take a minute. Help thou my unbelief. Bring it up. Take a minute to say whether you believe. Bible says, and straight away the father of the child cried out. You know, the verse before, he said, oh, I believe. Jesus said to him, if thou can believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. Then the next verse. Then the guy quickly says, straight away the father of the child cried out and said with tears, Lord, I believe. See, that's the default setting for Christians. Immediately, straight away, Lord, I believe, but you're wrong. Almost everybody, how many you don't believe in Jesus Christ? You see, nobody. How many believe? Lift your hand.
I believe.
You see, straight away, say, I believe. But you see, let me tell you, it's not true. Yeah. If you believe, this morning you would have prayed.
Amen.
If you believe, you would have submitted yourself to everything. Because he said that all things are possible to him that believeth. All things. Can you say all things?
All things.
Yeah. And then he said with tears, after he said, I believe. Then semicolon, no. Help thou mine unbelief. Clap for the Lord Jesus. I want us to pray to God this morning and say, Lord, help with my faith. Amen. Grow my faith. Amen. Generate faith within me. Amen. Help my unbelief that the name of Jesus Christ will be something that I proclaim with power. Begin to pray. Father of God, deliver us from that routine answers that say, I believe. Deliver us from that straight, quick answers that say, I believe. Like this centurion, he said, I believe. He said, I believe. The Father said, I believe straight away. But he did not. He needed help from Jesus Christ. Today we ask, help our unbelief. Help our unbelief. Help our unbelief. Help our unbelief. In the name of Jesus Christ. Father of God, let faith arise. Let our faith arise. Faith that moves mountains. Faith that overcomes obstacles. Faith that overcomes difficult situations. Faith that overcomes fear. Faith that overcomes intimidation. Faith that propels us forward. In the name of Jesus Christ. Help our unbelief. Help our unbelief. In the name of Jesus Christ. Help us to generate faith. To operate in faith. To operate in faith. To operate in faith. To operate in faith. In the name of Jesus Christ.
Hallelujah.
Amen. Your difficult situations will come crumbling down in the name of Jesus Christ. As faith is generating. Because Jesus Christ said in Mark 9:23, Jesus said, if you can only believe all things, somebody say, all things are possible to him that believeth. You are the person Jesus is talking about. Amen. The him that believeth is you. Amen. The her that believeth is you. Amen. Therefore, all things shall be possible to you. Clap for the Lord Jesus. Now, one of the things that also Christians pretend or proclaim that we believe is in the salvation of souls. That if souls don't believe, if souls don't believe, that they will go to hell. Bible says, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but should have everlasting life. Holy Spirit, help us. Hallelujah. But the Bible says here, but in 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 3 and 4, Bible says, if our gospel be hid or hidden, it is hidden to them that are lost. It means everybody that is in the world the reason they are not saved is that not that the gospel is not being preached, but it's hidden. But there is a devil that hides the gospel. Anybody that is in his right senses will accept the gospel. Gospel means good news. Nobody in his right mind would accept bad news when good news exists, because it's hidden. We want to bind that strategy of hiding the gospel. The Bible says we are not ignorant of the schemes or the devices of the devil. Then the verse 4 of this same scripture. But if our gospel be hid, it be hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world, you see the letter is small g, the God, that means the devil. The devil is in charge of the world. He's the God, small g, of the world. Yeah, he's the operating. Bible says we do not war against flesh and blood. Your battle is not with human beings, but against principalities, powers. Demons have power. Spiritual wickedness in high places, rulers of the darkness of this world. They are rulers. Amen. And God designates them the God of this world has blinded the minds of them which believe not. They don't believe. They blinded the minds. That's why I tell you that if this car that you brought, you close from church and we see you walking, it's rainy, it's cold, and you're walking home 3 miles. There are two things. Either you don't believe in your head or you don't believe in the car. But your head is okay. So chances are that you don't believe in the car. And therefore, many times, the reason why people don't come to the gospel, they don't believe in the Christ. And their vision is being blinded. Want to pray that God will open their eyes. Amen. To them that he had blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. Now you know something, we will bind the demons of blindness on the eyes of those who don't believe, but we will also bind the demons of blindness on our own eyes. Do you know why? Because sometimes, not only are they blind, but we also don't believe to the point where we don't send the gospel to them. We don't preach to them. We don't support the gospel. We don't support efforts at the gospel, like Healing Jesus campaign, like evangelistic campaigns. When we say outreaches, that's the least attended. So I want us to pray, binding these demons that bring blindness to both the unbeliever and to the believers who don't believe in evangelism. Begin to open your mouth and pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, we pray that today all demons shall be bound. Our eyes will be opened. Our eyes will be opened. And the eyes of the unbelievers will be opened. That, Father, we will connect with evangelistic campaigns. We will connect with your efforts at reaching the world. The world will not die and go to hell. Christians in this church will not sit and watch unconcerned as we see the world dying, as we enjoy salvation. Father, give us, O God, that we will do the work of the evangelist, that we will do the work of evangelists, that we will go out evangelizing. We will be active Christians who evangelize. And Lord, you will bind every spirit of blindness, every spirit of blindness that keeps us away from evangelizing, from joining the evangelism move, from joining the end time militia that reaches out to souls. Let this church be a soul winning church, a witnessing church, Jehovah's Witnesses. Lord, take away blindness from our eyes. We bind the spirit of deception, and we declare, Lord, as we step out there, we will join with the forces of evangelism. We will join with the team of evangelism. And Lord, we will become an evangelistic church, a soul winning church, in the name of Jesus Christ. We bind every spirit of passivity, every deceptive spirit. We bind the spirit of the God of this world that blinds the minds of unbelievers in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Let the blood apply. Let the blood of Jesus Christ apply. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Rabbalose. Thank you. Lift up your hands.
Jesus.
And say, Lord, open my eyes. That I may see the harvest. That I may join the laborers in the harvest. Open the eyes of every member of this church. And Christians worldwide. That we may see the plight of the world running to hell. That we may join the effort to bring them back to heaven. To translate them from the kingdom of darkness to the kingdom of your dear son. Through person to person evangelism. Through financial support of evangelists. Through financial support of the Healing Jesus campaign. Through prayers. For soul winning. So help me God. Thank you, Father. In Jesus Christ's mighty name. Amen. Amen. Put your hands together for the Lord Jesus. I believe that all scales have dropped down. From today, the name of Jesus Christ will be transmitted through your life. Every difficult thing will come crumbling down in Jesus' name. And soul winning will be a blessing to all of us. Clap for the Lord Jesus. Please be seated for a moment as we take our offering. Tell somebody, offering time is blessing time. Offering time is blessing time. Amen. So we want to give our offering. Bible says a gift. And it shall be given unto you good measure. Pressed down, shaken together, and running over, shall men give unto your bosom, unto your bosom, unto your bosom. You know, one of the things that I like about giving to God is that God is spirit. Hallelujah. God is spirit. See, the way demons influence people, when you see somebody who is demonized, or under addiction. They are demonized. There's a drive on their lives. It's because they are not controlled by them. It's a spirit that is controlling them. Much the same way, when the Holy Spirit is in somebody, the Holy Spirit operates in that person. That's when the fruits of the Spirit start showing up. Okay? So, I want us to realize that, you know, when God decides to influence somebody with his Holy Spirit to pour into your bosom, there's nothing that person can do about it. Clap for the Lord Jesus. The Bible says that the heart of the decision maker of the king is in the hand of the Lord. And like rivers of water, he turns in the way that it should go. Whenever I'm giving an offering, I just tell myself, men shall give to my bosom. And I look around. One of the sure men is my boss. Yeah, they have the capability of increasing our salary, making decisions about promotion. Amen. Or when you get to an interview, there's a man that is sitting there that will say yes or no. By saying yes, they are actually pouring into your bosom. Don't just look for gifts. Yeah, don't just look for gifts. Look for sustained pouring into your bosom. As you give this offering, that shall happen to you in Jesus' name. Lift up your offering. Those that are given by text to give, text to give, text to give. Just lift up your phone as well and let's give. As we get ready, you know, today our special service is going to be a special service. Hallelujah. Very special service. Clap for the Lord Jesus. Very special service. Now lift up your cell phone for text to give. Father, we lift up your offerings as well. Father, as we lift up our offerings before you, we are lifting up our lives before you. Because your word says, give your substance. The substance is a result of our lives. Money was earned by using our lives to work Father, therefore, we lift our lives before you as an offering. Bless it. Bless our whole life as we present our substance to you, our essential us, in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Clap for the Lord Jesus Christ. Clap for the Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Let's give our offering. Amen.
Of the Lord is risen upon thee. Behold, the darkness shall cover the earth, and gross darkness cover the people. But the Lord shall arise upon thee. Shall be seen upon thee, but the Lord shall arise upon thee, and his glory shall be seen upon thee, upon thee. Of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob, and he shall teach us of his ways, and we shall walk in his path. It shall come to pass in the last days that the of the Lord's house shall be established in the top of the mountain, and shall be exalted above the hills, and all nations shall flow into it. Lord's house shall be established. It shall come to pass in the last days that the mountain of the Lord's house shall be established in the top of the mountain, and shall be exalted above the hill. Thank you.
Hallelujah.
Amen. Put your hands together for the Lord Jesus. Now, today is a very special service. Tell somebody, special service. You know, just for your information, you know, many of us are basically coming from the camp. Clap for the Lord Jesus. Many of us have not been home. You know, because we came from the camp, we arrived this morning, we set up the whole place, and, you know, many of us are on our way gathering people, doing all that we did. But, you know, one of the things that I've learned is that it's not everybody that has visions. But when God gives you a vision, you know, look at the book of Habakkuk chapter 2 and verse 3. Hallelujah. Habakkuk chapter 2. Verse, I'm going to share something with you. Habakkuk chapter 2, verse number 3. You know, Bible says, for the vision is yet for an appointed time. Amen. Whenever the Lord gives a vision, it is for an appointed time. Whatever the Lord makes you see, makes you experience, is not just for you. It's for you and for everybody. Like Abraham's experience is for all of us. Jesus' experience is for all of us. The Bible experience is that we all will learn for our learning. Hallelujah. Now, we went for the camp. And the experience that we had as we went to the camp is something we cannot keep to ourselves. Otherwise, we're very selfish. Clap for the Lord Jesus. And so the Bible says the vision that we had, what we saw, what we experienced, is not just for the time. For that there's a time appointed for it. So we say, but at the end, it shall speak and not lie. Amen. Though, please pay attention to what is happening here. Everything else is not important now. Please, after this, you can do that. Please, this is important, okay? Let me read again. Malachi 2:3. For the vision is yet for an appointed time, but at the end it shall speak and not lie, though it tarry. Even though time may pass, still wait for it. Tell somebody, wait for it. When God gives you a vision, wait for it. When God gives you an experience that is spiritual, wait for the manifestation. When God sends you to your Shiloh, look, Hannah went to Shiloh and he had an experience with Samuel, the bishop of their time. And as word was spoken, an experience was encountered. And Hannah and the family went home. But Hannah was not supposed to just throw the vision away. It for an appointed time. Though it will tarry, for it shall surely come, it shall not tarry. Clap for the Lord Jesus. Okay. Then it goes on in verse 4 to say that, behold, I mean, anyway, that one. That go to the verse 2, let me see, huh? Yeah. And the Lord answered me, say, write the vision. Write it. That means that, you know, put it down. When you write, it can be read. Write the vision and make it plain upon tables that he may run that reads it. That means that there's the person that has the vision or experience, and there's the one who reads it. Both will run with that vision because it's for an appointed time. Clap for the Lord Jesus. So we want to share a couple of experiences that we had with you, so that just like we are writing it on the tables of your heart, so you can run with us with it. Clap for the Lord Jesus. So that we alone, Spence, are you hearing me? Uh-huh. Are you with me? So that we alone will not be the ones that are blessed by it, but will come with the blessing to you all. May you be able to read through every testimony that is given here. Put your hands together for the Lord Jesus. So we want maybe a couple of people to share their experiences about the camp so that we can actually, you know, enjoy it and then run with it. Are there a few people like that? Put your hands together for our brother Richard.
Hallelujah. Amen. Why don't you give the Lord a shout of praise? Amen. Hallelujah. We want to take a few testimonies from some of us in the house. Amen. We want to invite the first testimony from our sister Barbara. Let us put our hands together for her as she comes to give a testimony of what the Lord has done for her. at the camp. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Amen.
My name is Barbara Barnes. Wow. And I'm
Hi,
a,
Barbara.
And I'm a member of the Greater Love Choir.
All right.
Creative Arts.
Amen.
And my testimony is about feeling God's presence at the camp.
Wow.
So I went to the camp that we just had in Orlando. You know, it was a blessing.
Wow. You should have been there. Wow.
Yes.
Amen.
Amen. So at this particular time, Bishop, he was raising funds for the Healing Jesus
Partners.
And this particular day, I don't know why, but it was really cold in the room. And Bishop was asking, you know, those who can give X amount, X amount, X amount. And, you know, I was thinking, oh, as he was listing the amounts, I said, oh, no, that, you know how sometimes you can say, oh, that doesn't apply to me.
It's not my 10 years.
Yes. And, you know, and then all of a sudden I felt this warm presence.
Wow.
On my neck. So I asked the person next to me, I said, oh, do you feel the heat?
Wow.
And she said, no. And I said, oh, okay, this is the Lord speaking.
Wow.
And then the Holy Spirit
reminded me. May you feel a heat this morning in Jesus' name.
And then the Lord reminded me, remember that certain amounts you felt that, oh, that was too much. One day I would hope to give that amount. And then that amount became small. Wow. And then I reminded myself, oh, who put you in the place to begin with to be able to give this amount?
Wow.
And so when I decided in my heart to give that amount, then I had a vision of open doors.
Wow. Yes.
And so I decided to be obedient. I said, you know, let me go ahead and be obedient. And I just want to encourage you. You know, as Bishop was encouraging us to stretch our giving, you know, maybe for you, $5 was too much. Then it got to a point, oh, $5 is easy.
Nothing.
But as you give, God will keep on stretching and stretching and
Amen.
Stretching.
Amen. Hallelujah.
Amen. So I just want to thank God for just even giving me the ability to give, period.
Amen. Why don't we put our hands together for our sister Barbara? Amen. For such a powerful testimony. Hallelujah. We want to take another testimony from our sister Anne Marie. She's giving her testimony in style. Hallelujah. Any challenger?
Good morning.
Good morning.
I'm Anne Marie Gbable.
Okay.
I am an anointed vine dresser.
Wow.
And also, I'm a joyful noise maker.
Amen.
When you hear preach, oh, preach, pastor. Oh, yes, lady pastor. That's me.
Amen.
Okay, now, when we was going to the camp, we were sitting at the back of the car.
Uh-huh.
It was Josephine's son. And at a point, I couldn't take my knees anymore.
Mm.
I said, brother, car, please stop. We need to stretch our legs.
Uh-huh.
But when we was coming back, no pain at all.
Wow. She received an encounter that brought healing in her knees. Amen.
My witness is Josephine's son.
Listen, wow.
Auntie, when we was going, we was cramping very bad, but now I don't have cramp.
No pain.
No pain.
No pain.
No pain.
All the pain is gone. Yes. You are sure. Wow. Why don't you put your hands together for the Lord?
So, to finish, I would like to thank Lady Pastor because she's the one.
Pushed you.
Yes. She called me. Aunt Marie, have you registered? I said no. Because I was pushing. So thank you, Lady Pastor.
Wow. Hallelujah. What a powerful test. When your pastor encourages you to go for a camp, it's for your own blessing. Amen. Hallelujah. Well, let us put our hands together and thank the Lord for powerful testimonies that we had today. Amen.
Heavenly Father, we are so grateful for such a beautiful gift that you give to us in salvation. for the awesome blessing. Father, if you hadn't saved me, I don't know where I would be. My mind, my attitude, my pride, my addictions, my wickedness, my perverseness, my lust, my laziness, my love for money, love for women of different kinds would all have stuck with me. My demons that I so gleefully embraced would still be with me. But for Christ, whose gift of salvation, whose obedience in humility came to save us, I appreciate you, Lord. And I stand on behalf of this church to say thank you for our salvation. Thank you, Jesus, for dying to save us from our sins. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for coming to continue the work that Jesus so sacrificially began. We give you glory. Holy Spirit, come and help us. In Jesus Christ's mighty name. Amen. Clap for the Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Now, you know, I'm very grateful for this campaign. I will be eternally grateful. Because one of the things that it has done is it has opened my eyes to the reality that there are others. There are others. Now, the Bible says in Philippians chapter 2 and verse number, let's start from verse 1. I'm going to read through. If there be therefore any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if you have any consolation that Christ, what he did was any useful. I'm consoled that Christ's coming was useful. If any comfort of love, if there's anything that love can, I can be comforted in the love, fact that there's love. If any fellowship of the Spirit, you see, there's anything to be thinking about that, oh, the Holy Spirit is fellowshipping with us. If any bowels of mercies, if there's any mercy in you, any love, any consolation in Christ, any value of the Holy Spirit, if anybody has, any Christian has these sentiments, love, mercy, something must move in your bowels. Yeah. Bowels of mercies. That, Lord, have mercy on the... Can you imagine you were dying and going to hell? Can you imagine all these souls? One of the places was 320,000, 500,000 people. The world. Then he goes on in verse 2. Fulfill ye my joy. Paul, who was the leader of the church, said, look, please, fulfill my joy. That make me happy. That you also have that mind, like-minded. Make me happy that you also have that mind. Having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind with Paul, with Christ, with the Holy Spirit. Yeah, with a true pastor. Every true Holy Spirit-filled pastor is supposed to be like Christ. Christ was supposed to lead us to reconcile the world back to God. Period. Clap for the Lord Jesus. Nothing is as important as that. Nothing. Nothing. Absolutely nothing. Any Christian entity, any Christian group, any Christian lady, Christian gentleman who does not emphasize this truth is the integrity of that Christian is in question. I'm telling you. If you are living your Christian life and the basis has nothing to do with soul winning and getting people to Christ and to the kingdom of God, your Christianity is in question. And every church that is not involved, I don't care that the church is 100,000. The integrity of that church is in question. And the integrity of that pastor is in question. It's the truth. Yeah. If our activity
is to fight gay. That's our vision. It's to fight abortion. It's just to fight fornication. That's all we're looking for. No, believe me. Many of the fights we fight against gay, against abortion, if we had just emphasized salvation, the Holy Spirit would have done that work more effectively than our placards and our banners. I'm telling you. You think it's placards that cause you to sit in church today? You're joking. It's the Holy Spirit. It's salvation. You're saved for real. Saved for real. Yeah. So it's not a fight about what are we using car for, or what are we, you know, when are we going to have our next breakfast meeting? When are we going to have a singles campaign? All these are great and we will do them. Clap for the Lord Jesus. But salvation campaign is the most important. Jesus came to seek and to save that which was lost. God gave his begotten son not for partying, not for church meetings, not for but that whoever believes should not perish. Because of the church, people should not perish. That's why Christ came. Period. It will never change. It will never change. No matter our Christian whims and our Christian slogans and all kinds of ideas, God's idea will be paramount. Don't joke with it. When you get to heaven, the church or the Christian will not be asked, how many parties did we have? How many Mother's Day gifts did we give? How many church buildings did we put up? Well, I think that one is nearer because Jesus came to build. I'll build my church. Not how many marriages we officiated, but how many souls do we convert to Christ? Clap for the Lord Jesus. Primary role of the church is that. It's not politics. It's not how well were we dressed. Yeah. No, put them in, please. It's not how well did we dress. So, ladies and gentlemen, God, please bring them forward, okay? Bring them forward. Let them be happy. For God, no, please bring me back the scriptures. Flow with me, okay? Flow with me. As Paul was speaking in Philippians chapter 2, he said that, fulfill ye, verse 2, my joy, that you also will have the same mind, will have the same love for lost souls. You will be with one accord, united with one mind. Same thing. Paul was telling his church. I'm so glad that Bishop is telling you, the Lighthouse, First Love, the same thing. The same thing. He's not telling us anything. All he's saying, let's win souls. Let's go to Healing Jesus. Let's do campaign. Let's do percentage. Let's do soul winning. No. That's all he's saying. Every camp, yesterday was the same, no different. Say, be like-minded, have the same love, consistent in one accord, one mind, not two, one. Not two visions, one vision. I like his persistence, his focus, and, you know, it's one plug, what's it called? Focus, consistency, very steadfast. It's about souls from beginning to the end. Prosperity. Look, when you win souls, I'll tell you, you become a star. Clap for the Lord Jesus. When a church focuses on the primary, when I employ you to clean this place and you decide to paint the walls, you can be fired, although the painting of the walls make the place look brighter. You were not hired for that. Yeah. You can be fired. And many churches are perhaps fired. Fulfill ye my joy. Be like my having the same love. Being one accord, one mind. And then verse 3 says, let nothing be done through strife and vain glory. Let it not bring beauty to us that is useless. Yeah. Look, you can have glory, but that glory can be useless. Yeah. You can have a church that is big, but useless. It's fat. Somebody can be fat but useless, can be dying. Yeah. You can be fat and somebody will say, wow, you are really enjoying. You are put on weight, but you're dying. It's true. Do you know obesity kills? Healthy church is what we want. No, the obese church. Yeah. A church that things are happening, not obesity kills. Obesity can be harboring sicknesses. That's why we try to lose weight. That's why people exercise and things like that. You know, I know that it's not everybody who has weight is everybody who has weight, obesity is obesity. But it's not everybody who has no, not many of them are trying. You see people who are weight, they are trying hard. What I'm trying to say is that if a church has just obesity without functionality, just like people who have weight are trying. If anybody who has weight is not trying, the person wants to die. It's true. But real people want to live, they try. So if our church is full of people and we're not trying to flow with God is saying, we are killing ourselves. We will never suffer from obesity. Everybody attempting to lose weight. A miracle is happening. This is your year for that miracle in Jesus' name. Amen. And you will say amen too. You watch it. Yeah, watch it. Healthy weight loss will happen this year. Watch all of us who are, you know, I'm not going to show you my. Hey, look at some. It will happen in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Our church too will be healthy this year in Jesus' name. Not just obese. Yeah. We'll be solid. Yeah. But in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves. Then verse 4 is what I'm looking for. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. A real church thinks about others. A real church thinks about others. Mr. Morris, please come and sit here. Come and sit down. Here, yeah. Real church thinks on others. Just Alex, you alone stay. Yeah, sit right there, please. Others. Amen. So, I'm in presenting to you others. These are all others. These are all others. The Holy Spirit is for others. The Bible says in Acts chapter 1, verse 8. When you are born again, God gives you the Holy Spirit. Okay? But you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. That you shall be witnesses unto me in both Jerusalem and in Judea and in all Samaria and unto the uttermost parts of the earth. Hallelujah. Every Christian, you are supposed to, once you receive the Holy Spirit, after the Holy Ghost, how many think that you've been born again, but God didn't give you the Holy Spirit? You are a dry, Holy Spirit-free Christian. That Bible says when you're born again, that which is born of the flesh is flesh. And that which is born of the spirit is spirit. That's what born again is. Marvel not that I said unto you, you must be born again. It means you must have the spirit of God. Otherwise, you're not a Christian. How many think you're just born in the flesh? You came from the womb. Since then, no change. Spirituality has never come to you. You are just a fleshly Christian. You don't have the Holy Spirit. You are not born again. You are just not anointed. Nothing about spirituality is near you. Anybody like that? Nobody? Really? So you are saying that you have the Holy Spirit. How many think that since you got born again, God has actually made you spiritual being? He's ready to take you. You have the Holy Spirit. Through that, you will go to heaven. Give me a wave if you are. You see all of you? Good. The implication is this. The implication says that you were received. What you received is not just spirit. You received power when the Holy Ghost came upon you in Acts 1:8. You received power. Can we change, you know, either the person or the, what please flow. The Holy Ghost came upon you. And that's how you got power. What was it for? so you shall be witnesses unto God. We laugh at Jehovah Witnesses. They are doing the right thing. Clap for the Lord Jesus. The only problem, they are carrying the wrong gospel. That's why we don't join them. Otherwise, the action, every Christian church should copy their action, not their word, the content of what they are presenting. It's true. You will be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem. Every Christian has four phases of your Christianity that you need to fulfill. Your Jerusalem, that means your immediate environment, your household. Your Christianity must affect your spouse, must be lived for your spouse to know you are a Christian. Your behavior must actually be a Bible. Your wife must look at you. Your husband must look at you. Your mother or your children and say, this is a Christian. Yeah, this is a Christian. That's your Jerusalem. You've influenced them. Your prayer life must affect them. You must have church in your own place. You must be able to convert. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord, said Joshua. Period. That's your Jerusalem. You know, including your neighborhood. Including your... That's why we start by centers. That's why we say now, from now, everybody, you should not come, not just with your family. You should extend your Jerusalem into your area, your zip code. Yes. Then you go to Judea, second phase. A real Christian does not live, the Christianity is not just limited to your house and to your neighborhood, but now it gets to your workplace. That's your Judea. Now it gets to the other state. Now you use Facebook to even reach people. You use text people that are not in your immediate environment. That's the second phase of your ministry. A Christian who has developed now goes to work and affects people, goes out there for outreaches and affects people, even beyond by centers, but every Sunday you are bringing. Then we have your Samaria. Samaria means people you don't know. It's not your work colleague. You will normally not have relationships with them. Samaritans had nothing to do with the Jews. That means that you make a trip. For example, we say that we're going to Beale Street this summer. We will have a musical concert. We'll mount a stage. And then you will be there clapping and wearing t-shirts, holding placards. I found Jesus and I found peace. I found Jesus and I found love. You have reached a third stage. You are ministering to people you would not normally talk to. People will come. There may be prostitutes in their shorts, kimpy, exciting something, but you'll reach out to them, Samaria. Then the uttermost parts of the world is when you make a trip beyond. No, it's not enough. I can be a missionary. I will relocate for the sake of the gospel. And if you cannot do it, I will send somebody, like what Bishop is doing. I am there. I'm doing it because my money is going into it. And many of you, your money is going into it. Clap for yourself. Now, so that's called the uttermost part. Until you have done that, your Christianity, as in the Holy Spirit-filled power that God gave you, has not finished its work. Paul said, I have finished my work, my course. He said, I'm ready to be offered now. And they are laid up for me crowns of righteousness, which the Lord shall give to all those, not only to me, but all those who love his appearing. That means people who believe that Jesus is coming again and we need to do our work to win souls. Amen. Listen, I can see that many here, you do your first phase, your Jerusalem. I pray. I'm not in your home, but center proliferation is happening. Therefore, I know that your Jerusalem is working. Clap for the Lord Jesus. And I know some of us, you follow us to do outreaches. You do. But uttermost parts, many Christians never travel. Right here in Memphis, even Atlanta, we haven't traveled. Many of us haven't. I was shocked to find out during this whole preparation for camp that many hadn't gone to Orlando. But you can get to Asia. You can get to Central Africa. You can get to Central South America. You can get to all kinds of places when we send missionaries there. And that's what I'm talking about today. Something you will never attain. Just by the way we live, we will never get to the uttermost parts of the world. But I'm going to give you a key that will get you to complete the fourth part of your ministry. Someone says, I will complete my fourth part. Clap for the Lord Jesus. And that is through sending people to go for you. To go to the uttermost parts of the world for you. And that, you know, let's open our Bibles to Romans chapter 10. Romans chapter 10. From verse 13. It says, but for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Amen. Then, verse 14. How then shall they call on him whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? People don't hear, they won't believe. People won't call on the Lord if they don't believe. How shall they hear without a preacher? Somebody say, without a preacher, they cannot hear. So it means that one of the ways to get people to hear is to send a preacher. Somebody tell somebody, I may not preach, but I can send a preacher. Yeah, it's in the Bible. Without a preacher. Then verse 15 says, and how shall they preach except they be sent? Say somebody, I will send a preacher. 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 On my behalf. Yeah. Yeah. This is God. I'm not quoting from any. This is the Bible. This is the Bible. The Bible seems to, God seems to recognize that it's not everybody that can necessarily go to the uttermost parts of the world, but you can send a preacher. We are sending Bishop Dagiwad Mills to the uttermost parts of the world. We are sending the Healing Jesus campaign to the uttermost parts of the world. We are sending. When we see these things, for anybody who financially supported, you should be able to say, I sent them. Tell somebody, I sent these people. Clap for the Lord Jesus. Yeah, I sent these people. One of the people that are the least funded are evangelists. Yeah. You know, Benny Hinn was one of the greatest healing evangelist. Healing. People have stopped funding him. Now he does local just by television. Unfortunately. Reinhard Bonnke was one of the all-time evangelists. Evangelized from Germany. He's gone through the whole of Africa and goes to places. Asia, I believe, will hear the gospel, and South America, Central America. The gospel is for the poor. Yeah. Benny Hinn was the one who broke through and brought healing evangelism to the rich parts of the world. Together with Billy Graham. Billy Graham did a great work. Clap for Billy Graham. You know, one of the reasons why America, God bless, even when he died, Billy Graham, he was honored for what he did. There is nobody, no preacher, not even presidents, that has seen the kind of honor that was given Billy Graham for what he did. What did he do? He just went about America preaching Christ, preaching Christ, preaching Christ. Since he died, we haven't seen his kind. Such preachers like Bishop Dagiwad Mills, they come and they go. Billy Graham, they come and they go. And the people that sponsor such things, their memories don't end. Yeah, they don't fade. And I'm not surprised that Billy Graham, God gave him such a great, glorious exit. Worldwide, world acclaimed. Man, this man, even in his death, his glory shone. God seems to really put emphasis on people who go out there to preach to the uttermost parts of the world. And America has produced such a great man in Billy Graham. Clap for the Lord Jesus. Germany has produced one in Reinhard Bonnke. Clap for the Lord Jesus. And I believe that UD has produced such a great man of God in Bishop Evangelist Doug Heward Mills. Clap for the Lord Jesus. See, but as usual, a prophet is not without honor except in his own house. Yesterday, as we were at the camp, and apostles from other big churches were coming. They had heard the evangelist is coming. They came supporting him with money, thousands of dollars, that we could not go. One apostle that came was crippled through an accident. He said, I did not finish my evangelism, but I've seen you on television. Therefore, I'm in America. I've connected to your branch in Maryland. I came with them. I have money that I stored up for evangelism. I'm pushing it into your campaign because you are doing what God wants. Clap for the Lord Jesus. Yeah. The apostle came on crutches. If it is his last breath, her last breath, he will come. She will come. And he will tell Bishop Doug, you're doing the right thing. My church and I, we are with you. Yeah. Said, the money we stored, we can't go. I'm crippled. You can do it for us. Clap for the Lord Jesus. That's the kind of evangelist God has given to us. He left his medical school. He was the best student in his class. Yeah. God desires the best also. Put all that to do this evangelism. The least we can do is send him. Send him. Tell somebody, I will send him. I will send him. If you won't send him, I will send him. I love the memory of Billy Graham. Today I was listening to Reinhard Bonnke, my wife and I. He's old, still pushing. He's raised a young man to carry his crusades, continue beyond his age. He's too weak to go. Now, what is the name of the Daniel Colander? He's now the face of it. Our bishop is still young. We can support him. We can go to the outermost parts of the world. No, in fact, don't even say some of you, your man, when we say support him, you just support the gospel. Send the preacher to do it. You know what? One of the things that happens when souls are won, Bible says in Luke 15, the Lord describes the impact on heaven when a preacher goes outside the church, outside to the uttermost parts for the lost sheep. What heaven, how heaven responds. Luke chapter 15, the whole chapter is about three different versions of the same thing. The lost coin, the lost sheep, the lost son. He finished by saying the lost son. The lost coin. Because look, sometimes we're following souls. You follow souls with your money, with your coin. Yeah, it's valuable. The lost coin. She said, look, when you have everything here, when you lose something, wouldn't you go, if the coin is of value, to go and look for leave the 99 and go for the one? You would. All of us who work, we have some money stacked up in our accounts, in our wallets, but you go to work day by day for that which is not with it. Because it's valuable to you. Is that not what you do? Do you sit with a few dollars? No. Because it's valuable. And when you bring money home, see how your marriage is nice. See how your children are happy. See how they are well dressed. Bible says, when I say to you, likewise shall be in heaven over one sinner that repents, more than the 99 just persons who need no repentance. The way we emphasize church, we should emphasize rather the lost, the world, not the church. That's what the Bible is saying. Heaven, we recognize the church. I've come to church. But heaven recognize the fact that we de-emphasize church and now emphasize the lost, even if it's only one soul. That's why from now, you should not come to church alone. Even if you bring one, you've done better than anybody who just came for the 100-something people in church. You came because of that one person. You will be a Bacenta leader in Jesus' name. Yeah. Number two, the lost sheep. Sheep is an investment. If you've invested in something, you don't just sit around. You invest in other things. Sheep is an investment. And you go for the next one to add on. Then God said, look, all this I'm talking about, I know you know about money. I know you know about investment. But do you know that the people that are coming, they're supposed to be my children? Then he emphasized on the lost son, the prodigal son. Ricky, there are people out there, they are God's children that we are neglecting. If I neglected your children, if everybody in the church, I took care of their children, and you came, and I was every time teaching others' children, but your child was left out there, you may easily leave the church. You will not be happy. Or you had three children. Always I'm with the two. But this one, I said it some way. You, no matter how terrible that child, you will not be happy. God said he's not happy that we are always concentrating on ourselves, 99 in church, and we are leaving that lost son out there. But watch this. When this prodigal son came home in Luke chapter 10, verse 15, Luke chapter 15, and verse number 14, verse number, which one? That he responded. When he started talking, the Bible says in verse 20, the guy had come home, you know. The guy had decided, look, it looks like nobody's coming for me. I'm coming home. No, the father was always looking and praying, expecting. Ladies and gentlemen, you may be surprised that though God is in the church, his real location is not inside, but at the border. He's watching when a new soul is coming. The Bible says the father, the sinner arose and came to his father, verse 20. But when he was still a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. I mean, can you imagine? I see somebody bring a soul. Bring somebody, bring Richard, bring somebody. You know, I see that he's coming. I'm running. Wow, this new soul is coming. As you bring a basenta, as a basenta leader, you bring a soul. You may not realize that now, Bible says, draw nigh unto God. And he will draw nigh unto you. You may not realize that you think you are coming. God, you are walking, but the Lord is running towards you. The Lord loves soul winners. The Lord loves soul winners. He runs where he would have crawled or walked. Your soul winning activity causes him to facilitate things. My life has been different ever since I have emphasized souls rather than colonoscopy. I'm telling you. God runs towards churches that are evangelistic. I'm not surprised that our church is that blessed. Yeah. I'm not surprised. Run. Where is he? Yeah. But when it was yet a great, while we are thinking about it, the Lord is running towards us. If our mind is not on it, that now we are going to make sure that we send this preacher to the uttermost parts. As your mind has come, the Lord has begun running towards you already. Clap for the Lord Jesus. Brother, you are blessed. The Lord will run towards you. And Bible says when he came, but when he was yet, somebody should come and do the kissing for me. You know, when it was, Pastor Daniel, today you are not a pimp, you are God. Come. Maybe I should do it for your husband and wife. Yeah. Yeah. Oh, no. That, you know. No, wait. This is not a husband. It's a son. Good. Pastor Daniel, come. And then, look, and he's going to shower him. Bible says he ran. Come. You go from there. That's why. You run. And look, he hugs him. Wow. Now, all of us saw. Listen carefully. Pastor Daniel, go back. When he was sitting there, he was quiet. He was moody. He was worried. Is my son coming home? Are souls being won? Is the world going to be transformed? Are sinners going to come to salvation? He was worried. Look at his face. He's worried. He's worried. He's removing the curse. He's watching the church members. Are they here alone? Are they emphasizing just 99? He's wondering who is the person who will bring one person. So far, nobody has brought somebody who is lost. Then the door opens. Alex, bring him again. Then the door opens. Suddenly, we think he's with us. But then we don't know that the Lord has not even risen up on our situation. The door opens. One soul comes. We are 99 here. Then he gets up. His mood is changed. He's running. He's running. He's running. Excited. He lifts his son up. Clap for the Lord Jesus. Ladies and gentlemen. No, no, don't go away. It's not over. It's not over. The Bible says, saw him, had compassion. Where we ridicule unbelievers because they are wearing hot pants out there, because they are showing their breasts, because they are lying, because they are full of drugs. We ridicule them, reject them, judge them. But the Lord, he has compassion on them and runs to them, falls on their neck and gives them a hickey. Hickey. Clap for the Lord Jesus. You know what hickey is? You have a derogatory effect on hickey. But he kisses them so passionately. It bruises, it imprints the kiss. The kiss is permanent on their cheeks. That's a sign of passion. Compassion brings hickeys. God wants to give hickeys to the people who have rejected. So compassionate. And then look at that. After that, it wasn't over. Then verse 21 said, and he said, but tell somebody, it's just a beautiful thing. Is it not beautiful what you're seeing? Tell somebody it's exciting. The father is excited. Tell somebody it's a nice thing. Tell somebody it's mood changing. Tell somebody it's beautiful. It's exciting. It's nice. It's mood changing. It's called a B-E-N-N-M. Yeah. It's beautiful B. It's exciting, E. It's nice, N. And it's mood changing, M. I want to partnership with the group that bring these four sentiments. They bring beauty to the Lord's house. They bring excitement. They bring niceness. They causes God to have a mood change. Yeah. So there's a group we call the Ben MP. Ben MP group or partners. They bring beauty, they provoke beauty, excitement, niceness, and mood change to the Lord's heart. And the Lord blesses them. Clap for the Lord Jesus. Amen. Tell somebody, I like to be a Ben MP partner. Yeah. Yeah. Look at that. He's so excited, warm-hearted. Then what happens from there? What happens then? And the son said to the father, oh, I've sinned. People are guilty when they come to church. They can't identify with our self-righteousness, our suits. I said, today I'm wearing t-shirts. We should make them comfortable. We are not making them comfortable in their sin, but comfortable in the love of God and compassion. Yeah. We are not identifying with the sin. We are identifying with the soul. God is not as interested in the sin in you as much as he's interested in the son in you. There may be only one letter difference, but it's a huge spiritual world of difference. Amen. Clap for the Lord Jesus. When you look at somebody's sin, you will never make him your son. You never love them. Look at the Lord. Bible says he killed a fattened calf for a party. Right here. He put new ring on him. This man had a ring. He gave him another one. He gave him a new coat. New coat. Look, he came tattered. Now, by the time he's leaving, he's in new coat. Good. New coat. A party is going on. Wow. Yeah, ring. The ring. Wrist ring. Oh, wow. And finger ring. Neck ring. You know, all that. All that. Look, another ring. Put it on. Put it on. Wow. 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 Diamonds. He will go to any extent. He will go to any extent. Nothing is too expensive when it comes to souls. That's what the Lord is saying. And he put him in his house. And this is where Bible says the big brother came. This is where, if you are a big brother in the church, self-righteous big brothers, they wonder, why the waste? Why are we spending time on healing Jesus? Why is it that when the sun came, there's a party? They are making too much noise about healing Jesus campaign. They are making too much noise about this bishop. They are making too much noise about these trips that they are making. That's a big brother. Look at what the big brother said. Lord, these many years I served thee, never transgressed, and yet you never gave me a kid that I may make merry with my friends. But this, verse 30, as soon as this thy son was come, who devoured your living on harlots. Man, this guy has really devoured, been harlots. Some of the, when you look at some of the unbelievers, the girls they've been with, you would have liked to marry them. You look and you're even jealous. Look at the unbeliever has a nice hips and look, he said no to me and said yes to. Okay, no, they enjoy. They've smoked, they've drank, they've lied, they've cheated, they've made money wrongly, they've had all the girls you would have nicely married. And yet when they come, God is happy. It may feel some way, but it's only people who are like big brothers who've been there and doing the right thing. Most of them never bring one soul, like you. Yeah. Most mature Christians don't bring any soul, but you are being changed from today. From today, you will bring a soul, but center leader in Jesus' name. Lift your hand, Akwesi, that you are no more a big brother type person. I tell you. No, this is what happened. Big brothers in church say, we're not supporting this behavior of our daddy. We won't support. We don't support. But today you will not be that kind of person. Amen. Yeah, you will not be a big, who fights. There are people who are dignified in nice tie, nice dresses, who always fight when there's fundraising or support for evangelistic things or for preachers to do their work. There are people in the church like that. They have been captured in the Bible. They look righteous, and often they have righteous arguments, but they are wrong. But they are wrong, so wrong. The father is just having, tolerating them. Yeah, there will be no party for such people. Tolerating. What it is that let's be here and do the right thing, but let's realize it takes time for others to become like us. For the weed smoker, for the harlot, for the drunk, for the addicts, for the thieves who somebody stole your cell phone. No, don't say you won't come to church. You're making a statement. I don't want any of this. So now we have this group of people who don't want to be big brothers, want to join what we call the Ben MP. Those who bring beauty because of souls, support the Ben MP idea. Bring beauty, excitement. Tell somebody it's beautiful. It's exciting. It's nice. It's mood changing. And I'm a partner. I belong to Ben MP. I'm not a big brother type. Yeah. I will never stop. So, ladies and gentlemen, how do you think, Bible says, how shall they go except we send them? Now, you cannot go to the uttermost part of the world. How do you think we should do it to support this great evangelistic move? How can we get there to these uttermost parts? Bishop is planning to go to South America. He's already having meetings with us. Yeah, they bought this equipment you see is just for one area. There's another set for another area. We are buying another set that will go to the island. You know, Madagascar? Do you know the other? Look. Cape Verde, Comoros Island, is not easy to ship them. They have prevented us. So we need to actually buy different things that will be just swimmable and will be for islands alone. It's a lot of money. But if there's anything defined as uttermost parts, it's the islands. So I'm here to bring to your attention what the vision is, to support this vision to the utmost parts of the world. Tell somebody, Ben MP is launched. Tell somebody, I am a member, I'm a partner of the Ben MP group. Clap for the next person who is sitting by you.
We believe the Word of God has come through to you and you have been blessed. Come join our services at 5796 Shelby Oaks Drive in Bartlett, Tennessee, this and every Sunday at 9 a.m. and again at 10:45 a.m. Be blessed.